Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Hey Valley Church, it is so good to be with you today. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to preach, to share the word. I've had the privilege in the past of being able to be with you physically, but we're doing things digitally these days. So here I am, and hopefully I've got something good for you. I've got a lot of love for your pastors, Ed and Michelle, and all the team. So it is an absolute joy for me to be able to invest some time into sharing the word of God with you today. I hope it'll help you, hope it'll lift you and encourage you in this really weird and crazy season that we've all found ourselves in. So let me start with just reading a bit of scripture from Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall, if I can say that word properly, came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' And he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" You know, I've got a lot of questions that I would love to ask God when I get to heaven. You know, I don't know about you, but there's lots of things that, you know, that I don't think I'll find the answer for in the Bible, but maybe a face-to-face conversation with God will settle a few issues. Like, number one, spiders. Why are they so creepy? What was in God's mind when he created them? Why couldn't he make them fluffy and cute? You know, so when you see a spider run across the living room carpet, you're not freaking out, but you're thinking, "Ah, how lovely." What purpose do olives serve? I don't understand why olives taste the way they do. They're disgusting. The most vile, horrible. I'm sure that's just split the crowd right now. And how come everyone's weight is different? Like, what is that about? How come some people have fast metabolism and some people don't? You know, I'd love to understand why there's such an uneven distribution of weight. But one of the other questions I've got after reading this scripture is, where did Jesus get that pillow from? Because, like, think about it for a moment. Who wouldn't like a pillow that was that comfortable that in the middle of the storm, Jesus is still fast asleep? You know, that is the kind of pillow that I would really like for my bed. Let me just talk about the story for a moment. It's been a big day for Jesus. You know, he'd found himself surrounded by crowds, surrounded by people wanting to hear from him, wanting him to heal them or pray for them or to teach them. So much so that it got so busy, he basically climbed into a boat and began to teach people from the boat just in order to get a bit of space. And then he'd been going all day so that he turns around to the disciples and says at the end of the day, and they're like, "Hey, look, we're in a boat. Let's just go. Let's go to the other side of the lake and get out of here." And that's what they do. And so they begin to sail across the lake, and Jesus just climbs in the back of the boat and goes to sleep. I love that sort of picture. But then, of course, this storm brews, and it must have been, it says it was a furious squall. It must have been a bad storm, because these fishermen, who I assume were used to being in all kinds of weather, boats in all kinds of weather, they were in fear for their lives. I mean, they must have been trying to bail out, you know, trying to keep the boat in the water, not tipping over. And eventually it says that they come up to Jesus and they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And so Jesus gets up and he does this amazing miracle. He calms the storm. He just speaks, "Be still." And everything comes to rest. And it's just, you know, it's one of those fantastic, you know, powerful moments in scripture that just, you know, reveals the nature of God, reveals the nature of who Jesus is. But there's one thing about this story that really interests me, and that is that in their fear, they don't wake Jesus to ask him for help. They wake him to ask for an explanation. You know, they don't say, teacher, you could do something about this. Can you help? They say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? In other words, you know, Jesus, how can you sleep right now in the midst of this storm? How can you be so calm when it looks like we're all about to die? You know, we are fighting for our lives right now, and you are doing nothing but sleep. And I just think that's a familiar picture for many of us, because, you know, I think how often do we approach God in the midst of our storms with the same kind of attitude, you know, that life's kicking off, something's not going our way, you know, something's not happening the way we want it to happen. And instead of, you know, waking Jesus and say, hey, look, how can we navigate through this storm? We find ourselves shaking the shoulders of Jesus and saying, why is this happening? You know, you asked us to go this way, or you called us to do this thing, or, you know, this is in your hands, God. You know, this is a natural disaster that we're working our way through. You know, God, why is this happening? You know, last summer, gosh, when things were a little bit more normal, I have to say, though, we'd sold our building in Leeds. We'd moved into a hotel that season. We'd come through a big house move. There's lots of other things going on. I have to say, we got to sort of this time last year, and I was very stressed out. I was really, you know, I found myself on the knife edge of emotions at times. And so we had a holiday planned, and that seems like a really nice idea right now. But we had a holiday planned. Just a couple of weeks, we're going to go drive across country to Switzerland, spend a couple of weeks there. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to take some time off before we go away, so that when I'm going away with my family, they can have all of me normal rather than the stressed out person. And it worked. It was great. By the time we got to get in the car to drive across the continent, you know, I really felt there's a certain peace and calmness had started to come into my life. And which was good, because on the way to the Channel Tunnel, our car broke down. And so not a great start to your holiday, but the, you know, the RAC guy comes out and he fixes the car, and we're on our way. We're a little bit late, but we got to Paris, which was our first stop, where Gorge's auntie lives, and we're staying with her. And so we had a couple of nights in Paris. And then on the way from Paris to Switzerland, the car broke down again. And the next thing is the car's now on the back of a trailer, you know, being taken to some French garage in the middle of nowhere, which currently at that moment in time, the garage was closed for siesta, apparently, or something similar. And so we found ourselves in a hotel with the insurance company sorting us out and going through all this thing. But I wasn't getting stressed. I was actually quite calm. And eventually, at the end of the day, we were in a hire car on our way to a holiday destination. And then about a day or so later, I got almost run off the road by a car coming the other direction, bearing in mind I was driving on the wrong side of the road now, in a car with the wheel on the different side to what I'm used to. And so we almost hit this curb with the tire, blew the tire. I'm now changing the wheel of my hire car that I've scratched all the alloys on. And I'm thinking, do you know what? It's okay. God, nothing's going to ruin this holiday. And so we just, it's like there's a calmness upon me. And then about 2 days later, I'm making lunch. I'm making a packed lunch for our day out. And I cut my finger with the bread knife. And as I cut my finger with the bread knife, it's like the whole world has ended. And I'm like, why, God, why is this happening to me? And I actually had an out-of-body experience. You know, where you look at yourself thinking, really? That was the moment that tipped you over the edge? But, you know, here's what I realized. We're very quick to ask why. But we're not very quick at times to ask how. You know, see, the thing about this story is we can see there are two different Jesuses at work, you know, and they both do things very, very differently. So there's the Jesus that intervenes as Lord over nature, and he commands the storm to be still. But then there's the Jesus who's asleep at the back of the boat. And I wonder which Jesus you are looking for this morning. Which Jesus do you want to turn up? Because I think most of us would say we like intervention Jesus. See, intervention Jesus is far more Hollywood. You know, he's the hero, he's the champion of the world, he's the genie of the lamp who comes all-powerful, comes to save the day for us. He's the perfect plot device that just wins any battle. You know, intervention Jesus is king. He's the one that so many of us want to turn up in seasons like this. But then there's the other Jesus. There's the sleeping Jesus. And sleeping Jesus isn't our kind of Jesus. You know, we don't like the idea that Jesus is asleep at all. You know, when the wind starts to pick up, we begin to look, you know, eye up, sleeping Jesus, and think, are you going to wake up? Are you going to come and help us here? You know, if he takes too long to intervene, then we start shaking the shoulders of sleeping Jesus and asking him, are you not going to do something? Like, don't you care if we go through this situation? You know, why are we not seeing the results? You asked us to go this way. You put me on this path. You put me in this life. Why is this now happening to me? But here's the problem. You see, we've been chasing after the wrong Jesus. Because we think intervention Jesus is more powerful than sleeping Jesus. But I want you to lean in and hear this today. Intervention Jesus has power to command the storm to be at peace. But sleeping Jesus is already at peace in the storm. Did you hear that? Today, church, you know, intervention Jesus, yes, he has the power to command the storm to be at peace, but sleeping Jesus, the presence of Jesus as he is sleeping in the boat, is saying to the disciples, do you know what? There's already peace here. And the reality is there are plenty of storms that are going to hit our life. We're in one right now with all that's going on with COVID and many other things that are happening in the world, you know, but there's other storms that are going to come our way in life that will want to emotionally drain us. There's storms that want to leave us feeling overwhelmed. There's storms that want to cause fear to rise up in us and leave us frantically trying to figure things out. And it's often in those moments that we go looking for intervention Jesus. As if, like, if intervention Jesus would turn up and somehow calm that storm. And if he doesn't, then we'll start shaking the shoulders of sleeping Jesus and asking. But often we don't go asking for help. We go looking for an explanation. So why don't you do something? See, in our quest for the why, we can miss out on the greater truth of the how. You know, the thing about this story is it was never meant to be about Jesus calming the storm. Like, if this story had gone the way it should have gone, then this story would have been called The Disciples Stay Calm in the Midst of Their Storm. See, I know that from the reaction of Jesus, because Jesus wakes up, he's annoyed, he calms the storm, and then he turns around to the disciples and says, why are you so afraid? Why do you have so little faith? In other words, like, what is wrong with you in this moment? What happened to applying faith? What happened to trusting in God? Surely you could see that I was not concerned about the storm. So why did it concern you so much? See, church, there is a greater Jesus that we need to meet, and he is the sleeping Jesus. He's the sleeping Jesus who invites us to discover him in a far more powerful way. And that's not that he will just speak a word and calm our storm, is that we might find rest in the middle of the storm. Because it's easy to be busy. It's easy to get caught up in all the emotions of things that are going on. And it's easy to get overwhelmed by what's happening. But I think one of the hardest things for us to do is to actually find rest in the middle of the storm. And I want to believe today, for some of you right now who are feeling overwhelmed and drained by everything that's happening, that you'll be able to find rest, because you don't need Jesus to turn up and intervene. You just need to know that Jesus is with you in the middle of your storm. So let me give you just some quick ways that you can find rest in your storm. Firstly, accept Jesus as he is. You know, there's a lovely little line at the start of this story that says, Mark chapter 4, verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. You know, Jesus didn't need to change his clothes. He didn't need to stop for a break. He didn't need to grab some lunch. He just said, guys, let's go. And they took him just as he was. And I think sometimes our problem is that we want to change Jesus. Sometimes our problem is that we want to fix Jesus up, but we want Jesus to you know, be in a different, have a different look, have a different word. But can I say, you can't rest with Jesus if you're wrestling with Jesus. You know, we need to accept him just as he is. He's not going to conform to your worldview. He's not going to fit into your box. He's not going to do things the way you expect. He's not going to say things the way we expect. In fact, just like the disciples, you know, experienced, he did something completely unexpected. But if we're wrestling with Jesus, if we're trying to shoehorn him into our box, into our worldview, then we'll never find the rest that is found in Jesus. See, Jesus doesn't say, I'll come to you if you're weary and burdened. He says, come to me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come on, if you want to find real rest for your soul, and I don't mean just a good night's sleep, but rest, peace, comes to your very, very soul, then we need to come to Jesus just as he is. We need to receive Jesus as he is, not change him, not fix him up, not ask him to be something else, but to receive the Jesus that we find in the Gospels, the Jesus that we find through worship and prayer. We need to receive Jesus, seek him first, above all else, before we seek his action. Let's seek who Jesus is and receive him completely just as he is. Second thing you can do today is be with Jesus where he is. You know, the story says that Jesus, he wasn't at the front of the boat. He wasn't with the disciples at first in the storm, as in he wasn't trying to help them. He was just asleep at the back. But you know what, can I say? It doesn't actually really matter where Jesus is. It doesn't matter if he's at the front calming the storm or sleeping in the back. The most important part of that whole story is that Jesus was with them. He was with them in the boat. And so whether you feel like you are experiencing intervention Jesus right now, or whether you need to accept that sleeping Jesus is asking you to have a rest with him, the good news is he is in the boat. He is with you. The peace of God is with us in the boat. And if you're looking for that rest today, if you're looking to have some rest for the soul, then find time to be in the presence of God. You know, well done for tuning in today, because you made a decision this morning to get out of bed, or maybe stayed in bed, but to turn on the screen, to turn on the device, to tune in, to worship, to hear the word of God. Get in the boat with Jesus. And if you're struggling during the week, spend some time in worship. Get into prayer. Discover more. Take some time out from scrolling through the social media, from dealing with whatever news is happening now. Put it aside and allow the presence of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, who comes to be God's presence for us. Choose to rest in his presence. Here's the thing. Rest comes as a result of his presence, not because of his intervention. You know, you'll find rest not because Jesus stepped in, not because he became the champion of your world in that moment. It's but because we found ourselves in his presence. See, you don't need an intervention to rest. You just need a revelation of his presence. And here's the third thought. Recognize that he's more than just a teacher. You know, right at the end of that story, it says that they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care if you drown?" Can I say, church, Jesus is far more than just a good teacher. He is Lord. You know, and it's like, you see, as they wake him, they call him teacher, you know, but their attitude isn't, "You can help." Their attitude is, "Don't you care?" And, you know, Jesus doesn't even respond to them. He just gets up, he walks the boat, and if it was Hollywood, we'd see him standing there with the wind blowing in his hair and the water splashing all over him as he screams into the storm, "Be still!" And the wind calms down. Who knows how it actually happened, but what we do know is Jesus stood up and said, "Be still," to the wind and the waves, and it happened. But here's what happens next. The fear of God comes upon the disciples. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 41, they were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They'd been afraid of the waves, but they were now terrified of Jesus in that moment. Who is this? Why? Because he's not just a teacher. He's Lord. He's Lord. You know, when we'll probably all need a little bit of the fear of God sometimes in our lives, because in that moment we remind ourselves that we don't just worship, you know, a nice idea or a philosophy. We worship our Lord and our God, who can command the wind and the waves to calm. You know, who is this Jesus? He is Lord over your storm. Who is this Jesus? He is the victory in your battle. He is your provider. He is your healer. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And, and he will come again. You know, he's not just some guy in a boat, but he's the King who'll return. He is the supreme living God. And when we find ourselves at rest in his presence, we are not resting in the presence of a nobody. We are resting in the presence of the supreme Son of God, who holds all the world in his hands. You know, this is what it says in Colossians chapter 1, one of my favorite scriptures, verse 15. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is the Jesus that we get to have a personal relationship with. See, he will intervene when he needs to intervene. But don't mistake sleeping Jesus as an inactive Jesus. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he is leading us. And if we can find, you know, if we do find ourselves feeling overwhelmed, or if we do find ourselves experiencing a storm, can I encourage you, before you start waking Jesus and asking why, choose to slide in next to sleeping Jesus and discover the comfort that is the pillow of the presence of God. Begin to discover the rest that is found even in the midst of the storm. And when Jesus needs to calm it, he will calm it. But for so many storms, we just need to recognize that we're going to get to the other side anyway. No matter rain, hail, or shine, Jesus is in the boat and we are going where we need to go. Let me quickly pray for you as we finish. Father God, I thank you today that you are Lord over every storm in our life. And rather than, Lord, asking lots of questions why, we just trust in you today that you are God. And where someone, even right now, watching this, sat on a sofa, is feeling the anxiety that's been rising up, sensing maybe the tears that have just filled their life this weekend, Lord, we pray the peace of God that transcends all understanding would come to them right now where they sit. Lord, let your peace descend upon us. We pray for peace. We pray for peace through COVID. Pray for peace through all that's going on in the world news right now. But we pray for peace in our lives, Lord. Peace in our world, Lord. That is a peace that comes only from the Prince of Peace himself. So we declare that over us today in the name of Jesus. Guys, it's been a pleasure to be with you. And thanks so much for listening and leaning in. And I really do declare and proclaim the peace of God over every one of our lives today in Jesus' name. God bless. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.